Oh, the Willoughbys. Lord Rugby and his wife, our hostess Geoffrey Clouston, the usual set. I have asked Lord Grotrian. I like him, said Lord Henry. A great many people don't, but I find him charming. He atones for being occasionally somewhat overdressed by being always absolutely over-educated. He's a very modern type. I don't know if he will be able to come, Harry. He may have to go to Monte Carlo with his father. Ah, what a nuisance people's people are. Try and make him come. By the way, Dorian, you ran off very early last night. You left before 11. What did you do afterwards? Did you go straight home? Dorian glanced at him hurriedly and frowned. No, Harry, he said at last. I did not get home till nearly 3. But did you go to the club? Yes, he answered. Then he bit his lip. No, I don't mean that. I didn't go to the club. I walked about. I forget what I did. How inquisitive you are, Harry. You always want to know what one has been doing. I always want to forget what I have been doing. I came in at 2:30, if you wish to know the exact time. I had left my latchkey at home, and my servant had to let me in. If you want any corroborative evidence on the subject, you can ask him. Lord Henry shrugged his shoulders. My dear fellow, as if I cared. Let us go up to the drawing-room. No, Sherry, thank you, Mr. Chapman. Something has happened to you, Dorian. Tell me what it is. You're not yourself tonight. Don't mind me, Harry. I'm irritable and out of temper. I shall come round and see you tomorrow or next day. Make my excuses to Lady Narborough. I shan't go upstairs. I shall go home. I must go home. All right, Dorian. I dare say I shall see you tomorrow at tea time. The Duchess is coming. I will try to be there, Harry, he said, leaving the room. As he drove back to his house, he was conscious that the sense of terror he thought he had strangled had come back to him. Lord Henry's casual questioning had made him lose his nerve for the moment, and he wanted his nerve still. Things that were dangerous had to be destroyed. He winced. He hated the idea of even touching them. Yet it had to be done. He realized that. And when he had locked the door of his library, he opened the secret press into which he had thrust Basil Hallward's coat and bag. A huge fire was blazing. He piled another log on it. The smell of the singeing clothes and burning leather was horrible. It took him 3/4 of an hour to consume everything. At the end, he felt faint and sick, and having lit some Algerian pastels in a pierced copper brazier, he bathed his hands and forehead with a cool, musk-scented vinegar.